Okay, so we can keep the recording clear. I'm going to start with just a little bit of review for those that are new to the program. And I'm looking here at the tip sheet. If you look at the tip sheet, it's got a little kind of a beginning there. And then we look at some of the basic functions that we want to do. And one question people have had is, what do I do if I accept connection requests coming to me? And this is important, actually. In the past, you may have accepted anything that came in. Our recommendation is, honestly, don't accept them unless they're your target. Because these will not have been generated by our service. Ours are outbound requests, so nobody is going to respond back by requesting to you. So this is keep in mind, if someone sends you a request, it will come into your email inbox, and you can click on their name right in the email, and LinkedIn will take you to their profile, and you can take a look. If they are in your target group, then by all means accept them. Otherwise, we recommend don't accept it. You can just ignore it. If you want to accept them for some other reason, like they're a business friend, then remember that we have a do not send list, so you can accept them and immediately send over to me their LinkedIn profile URL, which you can copy out of the top line of your browser, and their name as it appears at the top of the profile, and then we will put those on our do not send list. And now you'll have your friend in there, but they won't be getting all of our messaging and everything. If you want to have a friend get all our messaging, then our recommendation is go ahead and accept their request and then send them a quick little message saying, hey, thanks for connecting. I'd like you to see what I'm doing on LinkedIn. So I'm going to be sending you little messages every couple of weeks as if you're one of my business friends, something like that. Otherwise, you know, if it's salespeople or, you know, sometimes I'll get somebody from another nation entirely who's a young person building their career and that sort of thing, we would recommend highly not to accept those. So let me open this up for any questions real quick. If anybody anybody has a question about this issue accepting connections.
No clear enough at this point.
Okay, clear enough. Good. It's important important to remember that point. Okay, then there's other issues. So you may get messages coming from connections other than from our appointment requests. So once in a while, you'll find someone who they just connected. You just connected with them. We got their the connection for you. And after you send your connection request, after we send your welcome message, they immediately pipe up and they say, I'd love to get to know you better. I think that we could do some business together. Let's talk. Why don't we jump on the phone? Well, that is a problem. I mean, you know, they're probably wanting to sell you something. So you have to think, can I turn this into something that is beneficial to both of us, or am I just going to go on a sales call? Now, that sounds like a flip because we're looking to go on calls with people, but it's really up to you what you do with these. So we say it requires some discernment. Once again, for those of you that came on, I'm just quickly going through some of the basics here because we have some new people. They're not all on here this morning, but they're going to be listening to the recording. And then once again, when people respond to something come from messages 1 and 3, We do recommend by all means that you respond. So I'll, you know, even just this little thumbs up, LinkedIn will give you that option when someone responds. This, I did their connection. They accepted. They said, thank you for connecting, Henry. I gave them a thumbs up. Not only is that quick, but I actually think it's effective because people, they know that you're there, but you're not trying to overdo it with that one. So I highly recommend going along the way. Anytime anybody gives you any kind of a response, by all means, make sure that they get a response from you. And once again, I guess I will quickly unmute everybody and see if anybody has any questions about that responding back before the phone call requests begin.
Henry, my question, if they just respond or they just connect, they don't send a message, all they do is connect. Did we send anything or wait for that second message to go out for them to respond to that? I've got several that you this week you've gotten where they just connected with me.
You mean you got a message into your, in, I believe this is Paul, you got a message into your inbox that said Joe Schmo has disconnected.
Correct.
Yeah, you can ignore those. Okay. You want to, yeah, it's nice to get them, but we're going to send the response message on your behalf, so you don't need to worry about that.
Okay, I got over 50 of those this week. There were a few where they thanked me, so those should get the thumbs up. But the majority of them were just connecting.
Yeah, you're getting this message that court. You know, somebody is a connection. That's you just let that be. Let me see if I can find. So after they connect, they're getting they're automatically from us. We're going to send this welcome message. It was a little different from mine.
Okay.
But my team's going to send out this on your response. I don't know what you and I figured yours. And that's it. You don't have to worry about it. Now, if you want to, you can respond. This is an important point. If someone responds to you on this, you should go and respond back. So let's say someone connects with you, and then after they connect, let's see if I can find one of these here. Then they respond to that. Anyway, I'm not going to waste everybody's time, but. Sometimes when you this little message goes out and said, I'm glad we were able to connect, Stephen here will say, well, thank you, Henry. I'm glad to connect with you, too. Now, that one you want to respond to.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, moving right along here. The message form, five responses. This is, of course, where the rubber hits the road, and there's a lot of content here on the tip sheet about this. Sometimes people are going to say thanks, but no thanks. That's actually okay. You know, Sandler says you want a yes or a no. You could remove them, or you can send us a do not send request, or you can just let it roll. It's up to you, really. If they get message five after they said no thanks, they might consider you a bother. So I usually unconnect because I figure this person is not really going to be a prospect, but that's your call. And then someone says, sounds good, I'm on the road, let's circle back in 2 weeks. Now, I get those a lot. So this is where you need to put something into your CRM and program a follow-up task. This is really important to have a CRM, and I'm using one called Active Campaign, and it has a nice little widget here that connects to my Gmail. So it shows me all of my tasks. These are all LinkedIn people that I quickly put into to my CRM, and I've got the next thing is I need to email him. If I want to see more what it is, I can just go up there to my CRM and double check. But generally, all it says email, email, email. That's from the system. It's just reminding me that today or in 4 days or in 14 days or in one of them's 2 months, I need to get back with that person because they sent me some kind of a message on LinkedIn that said, I can't talk now, but let's get together. Now, I don't want to lose that. So that's one of the main reasons that a CRM is important. Keep yourself organized with this this program that we're running for you. As we say, this is a do-it-with program. It's not a completely done-for-you program. If you want one where they keep track of all this for you in a spreadsheet-type CRM, you can pay over $2,000, and they will do that for you. That's why one of the reasons ours is priced as it is. So once again, I want to get back just to make sure people understand this and see if there is a question about putting things in a CRM. Okay, I guess there isn't. One more thing I want to say about that. Let's see. I think I'll go up to mine real quick. It's taking a while to load. There we go. I've got a lot of contacts in here. Don't be worried how this looks. They all look different. This is something called tagging, but this is my list of people I'm keeping track of from LinkedIn. It's not huge, but every single person here. And if I go to their contact, I haven't put a lot of information in yet. One thing I like is that, you know, this particular one, I can go right to their LinkedIn profile because it does a search on the internet and finds it and so on and so forth. But this is where I program this task and all of that stuff. So highly recommended to do things this way. So let's keep going. If they want an appointment, the important thing is to get that appointment done and to go back and forth on LinkedIn until you set it. Sometimes you may want to go right to email. Once again, if we go here to this guy's profile and we click on See Contact Info, then we'll find out, oh, lo and behold, he's got an email. So if I click on that, it's going to create an email in my email program. I use Google G Suite, and now I can send him an email. So it may be effective to go to email with somebody when you're trying to set this appointment. But once again, you don't want to. So if I send this guy a request to do an appointment, he said, yeah, I'd love to be on the phone. And so we set an appointment. I send him a request next Tuesday at the 15th. Until he responds, I don't know if we've set it. So I'm going to go up in here and I'm going to create a task that says make sure to get back to Greg if he didn't accept the appointment. So if he did, then I'll just mark it as completed. But if he didn't, I'm going to get back to him next Monday and say, hey, Greg, I sent you an appointment suggestion, but I see you didn't take it. Shall we keep trying? There's a phrase that 70% of all sales are lost with lousy follow-up. So here, you really want to make sure you're keeping track. Now, for you new folks, this is not coming yet. It's going to be 3 weeks or a month before it comes at you. But once it does, you want to keep track of everything possible. Once again, I'm going to see if anybody has a question about this point I just talked about. Very good, very good. Okay, now I'm going to go to this networking phone call, and I want to role play this. I've prepared Paul Odendahl in advance here to be ready to do this role play. Somehow I'm getting a little feedback, but that's okay. We're going to just roll with it. Paul, I spoke to you yesterday about this, but just a reminder, I want you to take the role of either an agent or a broker. I'm thinking the broker is the better one to role play. You agree to that? I'm sorry, I had you muted.
I agree with that.
Okay.
I'll role play the broker.
So you're a broker named Paul. You're with Allstate. You've got a little Allstate agency. And I'm Henry. I'm a guy that's trying to reach out to you and sell you not sell you, but get you interested in my CE unit education program for agents and brokers. And I'm not saying that on the call, however. So for those of you just sort of getting into what we're doing, we have a whole script at the end of the tip sheet on how to do this call. We're going to go through it. Paul and I are going to role play it. But first, I'm asking a little about the business. People like to talk about the business. Then as they answer a question, I'm going to be very attentive. I'm going to be really on my game mentally because I want to ask pertinent and useful follow-up questions to draw them out a little. Paul, I will say one thing here. After we've gone back and forth once or twice, I want you to ask me, well, Henry, that's great. I like talking about my business, but tell me a little about you.
Okay.
This is supposed to be a get-to-know call.
Right.
Then we'll go through here to really the point of all this. So at this point, let us begin. And I want to check one thing here on the dashboard. Okay. So I by the way, I always highly recommend that you set it up that you call them. So you want to get their cell phone number from them or their direct business line number. It's unreliable for them to call you. okay, so let's roll. I'm going to stop the share because it's distracting. So let's begin. Good morning, Paul. This is Henry calling. We had this little get-to-know call set up off of LinkedIn this morning. I hope you remember.
Yes, I do, Henry. Good morning.
Yeah, it's great to meet you. You know, LinkedIn's really quite something, I must say. I just didn't used to meet so many people, but now I'm getting to know people even across the country like this. Just through this virtual means. How about yourself? Have you been involved in it very long?
I've been involved in LinkedIn for a few years. I haven't been real active in it, but I do find it to be a good program to help me with connecting with other professionals in the insurance industry.
Yeah, great. Love it. Well, it's great to see you out here. I think we're both sort of building our presence out here. You know, I just wanted to get to know a little bit about your agency. I see you've got an Allstate agency. Just give me the quick 3-minute story. How to, you know, becoming a broker is, you know, quite an accomplishment, coming up the ranks and then making the commitment, taking the risk to set up an agency and actually be a business owner. How did you end up where you're at?
Well, Henry, I started in the industry 30 years ago and built my own agency and was successful enough that I was blessed to sell that agency. But I became interested in Allstate because I had other professional colleagues of mine who were working for Allstate. So I was able to work for an Allstate agent for a number of years and just recently was able to open my own Allstate agency. So I've been blessed to open an Allstate agency here in New York. I have a small staff. There are 3 of us that are on the staff. Myself and 2 other people on the staff, and we're all licensed individuals who have an opportunity for our products in a small community in Bloomingburg.
So you've got some admin people, but they're also licensed. Did I hear that right?
That's correct. Yes, Allstate will require them to be licensed. I look for licensed individuals. I'm always looking for additional staff or salespeople that are licensed to sell our products. Some I pay on a commission basis, some I pay on a salary basis. And I'm always looking for ways to bring in new licensed people is one of the reasons why I reached out to you, and also someone that can help us with our continuing education.
I see. Okay. That's interesting. It's a tough market out there. I'm just wondering if you have trouble finding good, reliable employees. That's different than the agent question.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So I'm always looking for quality employees or looking for individuals that I think would be an asset in this industry and finding a way to help them get licensed. So I'm looking for resources that I can utilize to help license somebody in the state of New York.
Right. Okay. All right. And I don't want to grill you too hard, but I am interested in this stuff. So you're able to keep the profit enough that you can keep the office open, make the bills, make payroll, all that business on your side of things.
Yes.
You know, I salute you on that. I think a lot of people don't realize that brokers run a whole business. And I assume you're renting, selling services to the agents you have in your office, the way most of these agencies work.
That's correct.
Right. Okay. That's good. Let me tell you just briefly about myself.
A little bit about you.
Yeah, I've been working with small businesses all my life, and a while back I became an agent, and I began seeing immediately something that you've just mentioned here that people have trouble with, the ongoing credentialing and certification that's needed, and the continuing education units. And it's something that, especially in New York, my goodness, they just keep pounding us with this stuff. And, you know, it's kind of the old find a need and fill it thing. So I began learning how this works and keeping up with the latest. And these days I'm developing an online version and, I'm spreading out. Basically what I've transitioned into, Paul, is providing continuing education for agents and brokerages like yours. That's what I do. So it's great. And I've learned that one of the biggest challenges is the agents aren't keeping up. Sometimes they'll miss out and the brokers have to be chasing after them and all that kind of stuff. So let me ask you that question. Have you had challenges with this at all with your agents?
Yes, Henry, that's the reason why I'm reaching out. Here in New York, there are several companies that offer similar services to yours. And I have utilized a company in the past, but as an insurance broker and starting a new agency for Allstate, I have a lot of responsibility. And thank you for the compliment about getting my office moving in the right direction and paying all the overhead and taking care of my staff and helping our community. I don't have time to be concerned with finding someone to remind us when our CE is up for renewal, someone to help me find someone that can help me with licensing, someone that can help me with the changes in laws. There was cyber law changes in New York recently. And if I can find an organization that can help me with those educational needs and can come to me and say, it's time for your license renewal, time for your staff's license renewal, and I don't have to think about that or concern myself about that, I can concentrate on sales and building my business.
Cool. Okay, good. Yeah, glad to hear that. So I've been developing this, and I've got a question for you. We've been looking at delivering this virtually, so actually the agents don't have to go to a live location. They can actually do it all online. And I guess I want to ask you, do you feel that they would, you know, people would trust this? It's kind of the new thing, you know, doing education online. Of course, all the universities have started doing it. In our industry, do you think that's something that you yourself would trust?
Well, Henry, that would work very well for me and my staff because here at Allstate, we do a lot of our training. All my staff has been trained online. We do all our initial Allstate training online. We've pretty much gone away from classroom training. I just need to know that I'm working with a reputable organization yourself that is approved in New York and that the things that you will offer online are approved in New York. But that is exactly what we're looking for, things that we can do online and we can do right at our desk in our office.
Okay. Well, you know what? We said we'd do 15 minutes. We've been about 10 here. I want to kind of cut to the chase. You know, I since we are both local here, I'd like to recommend to come by your office sometime. You get all your agents there. We'll bring in pizza and do a little lunch and learn, and just talk about the situation of getting the CEs and getting them right, and just as a service to your office, no charge for that. And if it seems like it's a good fit, then, you know, we might move to the next level in what we're doing together. I'm just wondering if that sounds like something you'd be interested in.
That's something I'd be interested in, Henry. The week of Thanksgiving is coming up, and we are busy for the balance of this week. Would it be possible, and for us, our most convenient day is Tuesday. In Tuesday's late morning. So if we did some type of lunch meeting, that would be fantastic.
Okay.
Maybe available like on November 27th.
Okay. That's good. I'm going to cut off the role play here. Thank you very much, Paul.
You're welcome.
I will say you're an extremely positive prospect. My gosh, I wish everyone was as positive as you.
When I speak to people, I don't tend to have very much pushback or negativity.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting.
I think you come across somebody who is not a positive or a very nice person, but for the most part, especially.
Well, I mean, a kind of eager to get with my program. But I'm thinking as we were going through this, if someone is jumping on the phone with you and you do this. You're offering this continuing education and everything. They actually probably are interested in what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And my reflection is going to be, I think you may get less acceptances of the request to go on the phone than some. However, those people are going to be more qualified.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking. So, by the way, I made up that thing about the lunch and learn. You and I have to talk about that. But I want to mention to everyone here, I've muted Paul again because there's a little bit of background noise, that you've got to make sure you have an offer for when you get on this call. You must have the next step clear in your mind, and it's not different for different people, really. And I'm happy to talk this through with you, but you need to make sure you know exactly what it is you're going to propose to them at the conclusion of this call. We started out talking about the history of his business and all that. We found out that he's got problem with continuing education units for his agents, which is exactly what I do. We moved to the point where I've got to make an offer. Now, for some of you, it is just inviting to your networking group. Others of you, you're doing a live workshop. I know that Scott is doing an online discovery call kind of a thing. And I believe that Oliver is doing a lunch and learn kind of a thing. So you got to have a clear. So let me ask you real quick, Paul. Have you yet decided what your offer is going to be from these calls?
No, actually, Henry, I've not. What I've experienced so far is this connection, and then some people have gone right to Paul, send me the information right away. Because generally what happens in our industry is they know what they're looking for. They're looking for someone they can trust and is approved in New York. And they generally wait until the last second so they're up against the wall where they got to get it done.
Yeah, you and I can talk more offline, but this is good for everybody. Do not accept send me more information.
Okay.
You've got to have a clear offer. And so offline here, we can talk about what that offer might be. I do have one guy here who's a great education marketing expert. Oliver, you're on the call. Are you there?
Hello? Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great.
We're a nice tight little group today. I think you've been listening to this, but let's talk. You know, I think that Paul needs a good offer, and you know, send me more information is not going to do it. So I'm just wondering, the three of us talking here, what a good offer might be for Paul.
Paul has the insurance company, right?
No, he does continuing education for insurance agents.
Yeah, Oliver, I do continuing education, I do pre-licensing, and I do tutoring in insurance education.
And I know that's what you do. You go in and do education in companies, so that's why I brought you in.
Yeah, well, the age old true thing like you're looking for is pain. So I like to do a lot of pre-work before the call. And, you know, like I mentioned on last month's call, questionnaire is great. I mean, like a lot of people won't be filling out, you know, 10, 15 questions, but if you can just get them to answer a couple of questions, because what I found is if you can start getting people to do a little bit of homework or to make small commitments, those small commitments lead to bigger commitments. So maybe you don't make it a formal form or anything like that, but just in your LinkedIn message, or if you carry them over to email, just ask them a couple of questions that the answer is going to give you what their basic pain point is. So yeah, everybody wants more business. Everybody wants their folks like to be more knowledgeable and be leaders or whatever it is, but you really got to figure out what the genesis of that is. So, so I might keep it simple in the body of the LinkedIn message or my email and just ask them a question or two, or, you know, like, by the way, are you experiencing any of the following, A, B, C, or something, or just ask them a very direct question, which isn't yes or no. So if it's going to be yes or no, give them options and then say, do any of these fit you? Or the other option is give them a very direct question that is not a yes or no answer, but the answer to that question will give you enough insight where you can then build a larger case study around it.
Thanks, Oliver. Yeah, we've actually gone through that process you've never met Paul, so he's definitely knows what their pain points are. But that's an interesting idea to perhaps put some more interactive stuff in some LinkedIn messages. I'm going to follow up with Paul on that possibility. What we're looking for here is an offer after this little get-to-know phone call. Let me ask you something, Paul. If you were to offer a free lunch and learn one time, so people could actually get, you know, a few CEUs at no charge, would there be more that you could do for a fee after the fact?
Here, I would say no.
I see.
Because what would occur is, and especially the market in here in New York, is that they would expect it to continue to be free.
Okay. Right. Okay. You and I can talk more offline about that. Let's be thinking. We've got about 3 weeks or a month before these phone call messages start going out in your LinkedIn, Paul. So just be thinking about this. What can be the next step? It could be an extended call. You know, you and I, for example, we jumped on the phone and I showed this plan of how it works. That is a next step. Oliver's offering a lunch and learn, which looks like maybe that's not going to work for you. But we'll think. We need something which gets you closer to this person so that you can then actually engage them for paying business. And it's not recommended that comes right off of this little phone call.
Well, let me ask you, Henry. I mean, you know how you have a marketing funnel? What does his sales funnel look like? Like, once it becomes a lead, like, what does his sales funnel look like? Like, for example, does he have a process in place? Because some sales, I mean, you can go right for the close, you know, in the first meeting. Others, it may require, based on the price point, it may require another follow-up meeting. But like I said, I like having people do homework, or I like to present them with a case study or something that they can stew over a bit, because I'm dealing with a lot of analytical people. So if your target client is not really analytical, if they're more emotion-based, then you can do other things. But for me, most of my people are analytical, so I can't just necessarily hit them with the sale like right out of the gate. I have
here's one concern I have for you too, as well, actually, Oliver. In this LinkedIn plan where we've got five messages going out, the first is a welcome, hello, thanks for connecting. The second is an article from some kind of industry magazine. The third is an article, a piece of your content. The fourth is a request for a little phone call like we just modeled right now. I don't want to leave the next step up to them. In other words, a survey is a great thing, no question. But if I say, okay, I'm going to send you a survey and I'd like you to do it, if they don't do it, now my sales funnel is stalled. What I want to do is let me take your idea, Oliver, and I would massage it into, let me set an appointment with the broker to come in and do an assessment or something. Now I'm in front of them. We're in the office. We're face to face. We do a little assessment of some kind, and then I try to sign up some business, or I go to what the next step in my sales funnel. But I don't want to just send somebody a survey and now have the execution of the next step up to them.
Henry, Oliver, yeah. I thank both of you for the input. Can I just throw this out real quick? I don't want to hold up our call. I know there's a lot of information.
Well, we're good. We're almost done. Don't worry.
So as an offer, my industry, with the biggest compliment I get, what do you two think? This is the offer that's the biggest part of what I do. In the continuing education, in the licensing, what the biggest concern that brokers and agents have is that they have to leave their office or take time from their business to go out and get those continuing education credits or help with the licensing. I have always gotten the compliments because, and also they have to be monitored when they test, and I'm an approved monitor in New York State. I guess my big offer that everyone has always been so enthusiastic about is that I'm willing to come see them. Everyone else makes them come to them, makes them go outside their office and their hours of operation and go meet them for a day and take them out of the field or whatever to receive their educational credit. I go to them.
Yeah, understood. I guess what I'm concerned about is going from the first drink to the bedroom, you might say, or from the first drink to the marriage ceremony.
Right.
It's moving too fast from a 10 to 15 minute hello call to closing a sale for your services.
Okay.
What I'm looking for is an offer in between those two.
Okay.
And you know, we'll get there. We're not going to solve that today. I think, Oliver, I very much appreciate your chiming in here. It's been good. And see, I'm trying to unmute Oliver, but he's not unmuting. There we go. Yeah, I just want to thank you for chiming in. Actually, some of your reflections are very helpful. At this point, honestly, gentlemen, there's four other people that are supposed to be here, and two of them already said they couldn't be, and the other two didn't show, but that's not a problem because all the good stuff we've done has been recorded. Before we might conclude a few minutes early, just to ask if there's any more comments or questions from the review.
I don't have any questions, Henry.
Okay. Very good. Thanks.
And I'm going to work on coming up with that offer.
Yeah, yeah. We've got around a month, Paul, to get this ready to go. And we'll be talking more offline. So with that, folks, I really thank everybody. And we will work now that we will conclude. Thanks to everyone. Happy Thanksgiving. Oh, I'm sorry. One last point. Once again, in December, we look at the holiday, and we've got, we could do this either on the 20th or the 27th. The 27th is actually the fourth Thursday, which that's between Christmas and New Year's. I can only ask you guys, will you be here, Christmas, will you be here between Christmas and New Year's doing business?
That's fine with me, Henry.
Oliver, are you going to be working on the 29th of December?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. I may move this to the 22nd before the whole Christmas holiday period begins. Christmas falls on Sunday this year, but then Monday, the 26th, holiday. I will be in touch with everybody on that.
Henry, I think you're looking at an old calendar. Christmas falls on a Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You're looking at last year's calendar.
No, I'm looking in November. That's correct. So in any case, I'm thinking the 20th is probably good. But I will be in touch with everybody after talking to a few more. With that, I will say happy Thanksgiving. Please be in touch by email or phone, and best of success to everyone.
Thank you.